Shimon Peres, a major figure in Israel from the country's founding days, has died at 93. He was twice prime minister. He was also minister of defense, foreign affairs, finance, transportation, and Israel's president. Peres grew Israel's defense industry, pushed for development of nuclear weapons there, and tried to find accommodation with Israel's neighbors. In 1993, as foreign minister, he famously signed the Oslo Accords on the White House lawn. We want to think about the legacy of Shimon Peres. Joining me now from New York is Dan Efron, former Jerusalem bureau chief for Newsweek and The Daily Beast, author of Killing a King, The Assassination of Yitzhak Rabin, and The Remaking of Israel. It is out in paperback next week in a great book. Dan Efron, welcome back to On Point. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks. Hi, Tom.
What has been lost with the death of Shimon Peres?
Well, probably Israel's, I would say, greatest visionary for peace. You know, Peres talked a lot about both security and peace as the two legs of his legacy. And you mentioned this in the introduction. He is effectively the father of Israel's nuclear weapons program. You know, he negotiated those deals in the 1950s with the French that helped build Dimona, build the nuclear weapons program in southern Israel. And then 40 years later, he negotiated, or was, let's say, instrumental in negotiating the Oslo Accords with the Palestinians, which were supposed to bring about a lasting peace between Israel and its neighbors, between Israelis and Palestinians. So certainly, I think he viewed his legacy as these two things, as security and peace. You know, along the way, he did some things that I think he regretted. He was an early booster of the Jewish settlement movement in the West Bank and Gaza that certainly did nothing to advance the cause of peace. That was in the 70s. He cultivated a real rivalry with Yitzhak Rabin, with his fellow member of the Labor Party, that really ended in a kind of Shakespearean tragedy for both of them. I guess I would say one other thing, Tom. You know, part of his legacy is that Peres, for all his achievements, was just unelectable in Israel. And I think that says something about Peres, and it says something about Israelis. But I was counting the number of elections that he contested, that he competed in during a 20-year period. There were five popular elections. He lost all five, including the one in 1996 after Rabin was assassinated, that really felt unlosable for the Labor Party because of this outpouring of sympathy and support for Labor after the assassination of Rabin. And by losing that election, he probably cost Israel, its best chance for peace with Palestinians and with the rest of the Arabs.
I talked to them over the years, a very classy guy. He couldn't win those. On the other hand, he was prime minister twice. The parliament put him in as president for 7 years, and he was president in the teeth of Benjamin Netanyahu's administration. I mean, the Times describing him today as increasingly orphaned, as Israeli society lost interest in accommodation. He was a tough guy and a peace guy, but the lobby for peace seems to have fallen more deeply away, Dan.
There's no doubt in my mind that Israel has moved steadily towards a more hawkish position over the last 20 years, since 1996. In fact, that very election we were talking about, that was the election that brought Benjamin Netanyahu, the current prime minister, to the office of prime minister for the first time in 1996. And really, the last 20 years in Israel is the Netanyahu era. He was not, I think he was prime minister for 10 of those 20 years. Netanyahu has managed to move steadily away from, you know, the kinds of things that Shimon Peres wanted to build, including some accommodation with Israel, with the Palestinians, including some withdrawal from the West Bank and Gaza. I think it was Netanyahu's goal to entrench Israel in the West Bank, and I think he's largely succeeded. And so that idea that Peres and his vision and his ideas became less and less popular in the last couple of decades of Peres' life, I think is absolutely accurate.
Let's hear his voice one more time. This was Shimon Peres in Tel Aviv last year, reflecting on his work and Israel and the future.
I see only the future. There's nothing else. The past is dead, irrelevant. It doesn't have a future. And even the past you have to reinvent all the time. Because if you discover a new paper, a new escalation, you see that the past was never described correctly. But with the future, we have a problem. The problem is most of us prefer to remember rather than to think or dream or imagine. It's a mistake.
Most of us prefer to remember rather than to think or dream or imagine. If he could still speak, Dan, what would he say to his country, Israel, about the future? What did he think that the more hawkish elements were missing?
Well, I think that statement, that quote, actually captures, you know, Peres very, very well. He was exactly like that. He didn't dwell on the past. He liked to talk about the future all the time. And in some ways that was inspiring for Israelis, but I think also there were periods when he waxed on about the new Middle East. And many Israelis, were skeptical. And I think that was one of the things that made him not a popular candidate for prime minister. But you know, he was in the times that I interviewed him, he was very smart, very inspiring. He was the master of the quip, of the aphorism. You know, he talked about books that he had read. I think he, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, the last interview I did with him, he talked about Daniel Kahneman, the Thinking Fast and Slow. He was going to meet Mark Zuckerberg. And talked about the information revolution. So, you know, the things that he talks about in that quote are vintage Peres. He always looked to the future, and he was kind of an irrepressible optimist.
And now gone at 93, Shimon Peres there from the earliest days of the country of Israel's existence. Dan Efron is author of Killing a King, The Assassination of Yitzhak Rabin and the Remaking of Israel. Dan, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Tom.